Okay, so we are holding on Kufyud Zayin Omud Beis, four lines from the bottom, by the two dots. Mishnah had said, Ketzad Nafla D'Leika Chola. We said in the Mishnah that if a fire, we said that you're only allowed to save as much food as you need for Shabbos if a fire breaks out. And again, we said the reason was because if you're allowed to save more, then you might forget altogether that it's Shabbos because you're in a panic. You want to save all your stuff, and then you may end up putting out the fire on Shabbos mistakenly. So we said in the Mishnah, Ketzad Nafla D'Leika Chola. We said that depending when during Shabbos the fire broke out is how many meals worth of food you're allowed to save. If it breaks out by night, then three. If it breaks out by day, then two. And if it breaks out by mincha, then only one, because you have three meals on Shabbos. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. Kama sudas chayev adam lechel b'Shabbos. How many meals does a person have to eat on Shabbos? Shalosh. So three meals. Rav Chidka Omer Arba. Rav Chidka says that you have to eat four meals on Shabbos. So we'll see whether we can make the Mishnah work according to Rav Chidka. That's going to be the first part of the discussion that we have today. Amr Rav Yechanan Shnei Mikra Echad Dosh. Rav Yechanan says they're both darshaning from the same pasuk. We have by the man Vayomer Moshe Ichluhu Hayom. Moshe says, eat the mon today, kishabas hayoim lashem, because today is a Shabbos for Hashem. Hayoim loisim tzeu basada. Today you're not going to find it in the field. So three times it says hayoim in the pasuk. So Rav Chidka Sava, hani tlasa hayoim levar meorta. So both of them, in other words, are agreeing that the words hayoim are coming to teach us how many meals you need to have on Shabbos. But Rav Chidka says this is besides you have the meal on Friday night. So you have three more during the daytime on Shabbos. So then according to him, you have Friday night, two during the day, yeah, and Friday night, and then three during the day on Shabbos, morning, afternoon, and evening. Yeah, I mean, we have breakfast in the morning. We don't make Kiddush at all because we don't really consider it a Shabbos meal. The truth is, actually, in our Mishnah, it used the expression Shachris, that if the fire breaks out in the morning, then you save Mazon Beis Sudas, which kind of implies, actually, that the main Shabbos meal that they would eat would be late in the morning or very early in the afternoon, not like us, where often we have our main Shabbos meal late in the afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon. Right, so that's true. And in Ashkenaz, it's true, you're right. And in Nosach Ashkenaz, and they daven fairly early, and they have the Shabbos meal relatively early. Yeah, that's true. Okay, so Rav Chidka holds that you have three during the day and then one during the night, so total four. But Rabbanan Savri Bahadi De'urta, the Chum hold that the word Hayyim, that the three Hayyims include the one of the night, so they have one at night and two during the day. This, by the way, that you have the minhag, which including it's all minhag, that you don't necessarily wash for shalosh hodes, is based on the fact that the third hayyim is hayyim loy simtzeuhu basada. So right after the third hayyim, you have the word loy, and therefore it's an exception. It doesn't have the same rules. So in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that properly speaking, you should wash, but practically speaking, people are often full, and therefore they're not obligated to. So our minhag, as brought in Hayyim Yom, is that actually we don't wash, but we do make sure to actually eat it. Not like some people who say you can be yotze with divrei Torah or whatever. So it actually says in Hayyim Yom that sodah shlishis ain sorech lechol pas, but you do have to eat something, as we're going to see on Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yosi says yehi chelki me'ech gimel sodas. My portion should be among those who eat three sodas on Shabbos. So there is an inyan to eat the third, to eat the actual third meal. You just don't necessarily have to wash for it. And in particular, even those who do wash agree that you, as far as I know, that you don't have to have lechem mishnah for it. So the Gemara says, let's see our mishnah and see which of these opinions it fits with. We learned in the mishnah, nafled leika b'leili Shabbos, if a fire breaks out Friday night, matzilin mazin gimel sudas, and you can save three meals worth of food from the fire. So my lav delay ochal lechorda, that's talking about where he didn't eat yet, and that would mean it's only according to the chachamim, not Rav Chidka, because according to Rav Chidka, you need four meals worth because you haven't eaten yet, so you should have one by night and three by day. The answer is loy de'ochal. No, the Mishnah could be talking about where he already ate the Friday night meal, and now there's three more meals to go according to Rav Chidka, so that could still work according to him. What about, we said in the Mishnah, Shachris Matzilin Mazin Shtei Sudas, if the fire breaks out in the morning, you can save two meals worth. Again, my lav de la ochal, wouldn't that mean where he didn't eat yet? And that would only be according to the Chachamim. And the answer is, again, loy de ochal, not necessarily. Maybe it's talking about he already ate. Because again, we're talking about he ate his main Shabbos, he ate his Shabbos meal in the morning, as you said, as they do in Ashkenazic shul, in Ashkenazic shuls and whatever. So he's already eaten two of the Shabbos meals, Friday night and Shabbos morning, and according to the Chidke, he still has two more to go. So the Mishnah would still work out according to him. What about, we said, the Mishnah, b'mincha matzilin mazon soda achas, if the fire breaks out in the afternoon, mincha time, then you can only save one soda. Again, my lav delay ochal, wouldn't that mean that he didn't eat shalosh sodas yet? And then in that case, it shows that you only have three meals of Shabbos that you eat. And the answer is, again, lo de ochal, no, it could mean that he already ate in the afternoon, and there's still, according to the Chidke, one more to go. By the way, Tosfos mentions over here, since it says the expression b'mincha, the implication is that shalosh sodas is supposed to be eaten in the afternoon. Now you have some people that, in particular, Tosfos mentions, what do you do when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, which is actually scheduled to be, this coming Pesach is supposed to be that way. You have people who have, those who are careful to eat shalosh sodas with bread have a bit of a problem because you can't eat bread Erev Pesach afternoon. You can't eat matzah either Erev Pesach. So what do you do? So it talks about in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe you can eat matzah ashir. You can eat egg matzah or other rich matzah or whatever. So one other possibility. Some people have the minhag then that what they do is they split their meal into two. They have the meal as it is. Everybody eats the meal earlier on Erev Pesach because you have to finish before Zman Achilas Chametz. So some people have the minhag. Then they split their meal. They'll wash. They'll make hamotzi. They'll eat. They'll bench. And then a little while later, they'll wash again and make hamotzi again. And that'll be their third meal for Shabbos. So Tosfos says over here that maybe you're not supposed to do that because you can't just be making brachas for no purpose. And anyway, all Gemara is implying that the time for the third Shabbos meal has to davka be in the afternoon. So that's in Shulchan Aruch. It mentions the possibilities is, again, either you use egg matzah or whatever, or you don't make your shalosh sodas, and this is our minhag, again, we who are not particular to have bread by shalosh sodas anyway, so you just use fruit or meat or whatever and make your shalosh sodas of that. Okay. So the question is, so far, fine, we can make the Mishnah work according to either the Chidke or the Chachamim, but the problem now is, but you have at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer La'olam Matzilin Mazon Gimel Sudas, Rabbi Yossi says that you always save three meals worth, implying, in other words, that he's saying, you Tanakama are saying that it differs depending on the time of day. I'm telling you, it doesn't differ. It's always going to be the same number of meals. But Pashtus, though, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim are not arguing on the actual number of meals that you have to eat on Shabbos. They're just arguing. Rabbi Yossi says, once Shabbos is a day that requires three meals, then you're allowed to save three meals worth of food no matter when it is. Miklal the Tanakama Gimel Svirle, implying that the Tanakama also agrees that you only need three meals on Shabbos. Ela machavarta masdisin like Reb Chidke. Okay, so it's clear that our Mishnah can't be like Reb Chidke, because Reb Chidke would say that you have to have four meals. And he would say, therefore, that according to him, the Mishnah would say the maximum you could ever, the Tanakama would have had to say that the maximum you could ever save is four meals, and Reb Yossi would be saying always four if the Mishnah went according to Reb Chidke. Say what? Malav Malka is something else. We're going to talk about Malav Malka tomorrow, Bez Hashem, but Malav Malka is not actually one of the meals of Shabbos itself. And you certainly can't, we're talking about saving food on Shabbos, you certainly can't be doing Tircha on Shabbos for after Shabbos. And Malav Malka is after Shabbos. That's fine. Nevertheless, though, we're not saying that there's a heter to save that. You can go to your neighbors and get food from Malav Malka if it comes to that, but yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, v'hol d'tnan, what about we have another Mishnah that bears on this, that bears on the question of how many meals you have to eat? The Mishnah says, Mishi yesh le'mozen shtei sodas, if a person has two meals worth of food, lo yito min ha'tamchoi. So that day, he's not allowed to take tzedakah from the tamchoi. A tamchoi is a large dish that has different compartments in it. In those days, what they used to do is, they would go, the gaboy tzedakah would do two different collections of tzedakah. They would collect money and they would also collect food. They would go around to people's houses and collect food in a large bowl like that, which has different compartments for different foods. And then every day they would give out to people, to poor people who have no food, who have no food at all, or who have less than two meals worth. They would give them food so they have what to eat that day. And then also there was a weekly distribution of money for tzedakah that would go, for example, it would cover them for Shabbos as well. But second of all, also the idea is, well, and then in the case of the Tamchoy also, I guess they would give them on Shabbos if the place had an Eruv or whatever. But the point is that the Tamchoy was usually meant more, and then not the Tamchoy, the Kupa, the money collected for tzedakah would go, for example, to Aniyim who are more embarrassed to go around to the doors to beg. So like this, you give them money and they can go buy their own food in the store, that sort of thing. Anyway, the point is that, so the Mishnah says at the end of Peah, Mishi Yeshlin Mozen Shtei Sudah, so somebody who has two meals worth, Lo Yitom in a Tamchoy, he's not allowed to take from the Tamchoy because he has food for that day, so it would be stealing from the poor people to take food for that day when he has. Mozen Arba Esrei, if he has 14 meals worth of food, Lo Yitom in a Kupa, then he's not allowed to take from the Kupa for that week because he can wait. Because he can wait until every Erev Shabbos is when the Kupa is given out Erev Shabbos, so people can go shopping for Shabbos. So like this, if he has, Rashi says, if he has 12 meals worth, then at that point he's not allowed to take. At that point he's not allowed to take from the Kupa anymore because now he can wait till next Erev Shabbos and buy. Reb Moshe actually has, interestingly, in one of his Truvas, a discussion, why does Rashi mention that he has 12? What about if he has 13? If he has 13, he'd still be a meal short, wouldn't he? And the answer is, because if he's only one meal short, then fine. He can delay his last meal. He can delay his lunch on Friday until after they give out, or the other way around. If he has 13, then he can delay his lunch one day, basically, and he's not missing anything. And then, he doesn't have to collect from the kupa for that week, and he's still able to do it. But if he only has 12 meals worth, then he'd have to fast the whole day. We don't require him to do that, so then he can take from the kupa. Anyway. So the question is money. Now, we said that the Chachamim say you have to have three meals on Shabbos, and Reb Chitka is saying you have to have four. Now, every other day you have two meals. So therefore, so it comes out then, for six weekdays, you have 12 meals. For Shabbos, you have three or four, as the case may be. So you have to have 15 or 16. So why is the Mishnah saying only 14? So that's the question. Money, who is this Mishnah like? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Reb Chitka. It's not like Reb Chitka. E Rabbanan chamesrei havan. If it was according to the Rabbanan, you would have to have 15 meals that you would have to say if he doesn't have 15 meals worth of food, then he should be able to take from the kupa. E Reb Chitka shisrei havan. And according to Reb Chitka, he should be able to take from the kupa if he doesn't have 16 meals worth. Why only 14? The answer is la'olam rabbanon. We can say that after all, that Mishnah also goes according to the rabbanon because damrin and lay, because we tell them like this: my deboyis lemechob akpoke shabza. Okay, this meal that normally you would have eaten on motzeh Shabbos, achle b'shabza. Instead, eat it on Shabbos. So in other words, what you do is he has 14 meals worth. Among them were going to be he was going to eat one on Friday night, one Shabbos during the day, and one Motzeh Shabbos. So we tell them, okay, in this case, move up your Motzeh Shabbos meal so you won't have Malava Malka this week. So you'll instead eat that an hour or two earlier, and you'll have it for Shalosh Shodos. So you still have that he can manage with only two meals during the day on Shabbos and nothing on Motzeh Shabbos. So he'll have Friday night, Shabbos sometime during the day, Shabbos late in the day, and then that's it. The next one he eats is going to be Sunday during the day. Thank you. Okay. Okay, the question is, okay, fine, so we can make it work according to the Chachamim. Do we have to say then that this Mishnah does not go according to Reb Chitka? The question is, obviously Reb Chitka is a Tanna, he's able to argue with the Mishnah, but it's a Stam Mishnah. We would rather assume it goes according to everybody if we can. So what do we do with that? The answer is afilu teimer Reb Chitka. You could even make it work like Reb Chitka, da'amrin and lay, because what we do is we tell the person like this, same thing at the other end. Like this, according to the Chachamim, we're telling him there was food that you were planning to eat Matzah Shabbos, and instead you can eat it Shabbos afternoon, and that'll be your third Shabbos meal, the same way on Friday. Da'amrin and lay, we tell him, my deboyis l'meichel b'malei Shabbosah, what you were going to eat on Erev Shabbos during the day, achle l'urta. Instead, eat it that night. So therefore you have an extra meal to work with. Like this, in other words, he's going to have his two meals on Thursday. Then he's supposed to have, well, so he has, let's say, Thursday day and Thursday night. Then the next one should have been Friday day and the next one Friday night. So we tell him, skip the one on Friday day and use that food for your meal Friday night. And then you have what you were going to eat Friday night, what you were going to eat Shabbos day, what you were going to eat Matzah Shabbos. And there you have, altogether, you have four meals worth of food to work with. So you're skipping lunch, basically. The problem with that is, so what are we, we're going to have to tell the poor guy that the whole Erev Shabbos he has to fast in order to be able to have, at least according to the Chitka, fine, don't require him to have 16 meals before he can't take from the Kofa, but say at least that he has 15, then he shouldn't be able to take from, why 14? At least tell him, let him be able to eat lunch on Erev Shabbos. And then, fine, you're saying what he's going to eat on Motzeh Shabbos, fine, he can move that up a couple of hours and eat it for Shalosh Shodes. Why are you requiring him to fast the whole Erev Shabbos? There's a certain time of day after which you're not, it's not Chatzos actually. But, well, we actually learned at the beginning of Or Masechta in the first parak, we talked about the dinim of eating a meal before Mincha. We talked about, is that Mincha Gdolo or Mincha Ktana? And we talked about, it's not really Erev Shabbos. Well, Erev Shabbos, you have the additional factor that you want to be able to have an appetite for the food on Shabbos. You have a similar thing Erev Pesach also. But we also discussed over there, is it just to wash or is it to actually have a big Suda that you're not allowed to at those times? But in any case, I mean, even so, fine. He'd eat it in the morning, but okay, he still needs to eat something during the day on Friday. Yeah. No, not necessarily. I mean, the fact is, even let's say, for example, as far as the barber, you're right. You know, the chance of the scissors breaking. Actually, nowadays you have, for example, you have the what do you call it? You know, you have the machines that they use. It's even more of a chance that they could break, actually, right? But whatever. The point is, here we're talking about as far as eating a meal, that doesn't really change. I mean, a meal's a meal. That you don't really have much of a difference in that between. Pass me that thing, would you? Yeah. It'll be more convenient this way. Thank you. Yeah. Like this, I can actually see. Thank you. Okay. All right. So the Gemara says, Ela homani Rabbi Akiva. So no, rather we can answer that Mishnah and Peah would be according to Rabbi Akiva. The Omer asay Shabbat chachoy about its tzarach labrius. Rabbi Akiva says, better make your Shabbos like a weekday rather than have to require to take from people. So in other words, basically what we can say is it can work either according to the Rabbanon or the Chidka, actually. What we can say is, Rabbi Akiva is telling you, if you have a choice whether to take tzedakah or not, then and that's going to affect the question of whether you can have a Shabbos stick, a Shabbos or not, whether you can have a Shabbos meal or not, then don't be taking from people. So in other words, it's one thing, it'll be easier like this, actually. So it's one thing, in other words, if the person is already in a position of taking tzedakah, then fine, he needs tzedakah as it is for his weekday meals, then fine, he's entitled to take food for Shabbos as well. And we're going to have the next Mishnah that we're going to quote over here mentions that in that case, you do actually give him enough for Shabbos meals as well. Because in that case, he's anyway in the position of taking tzedakah. But if you have a person, what are we dealing with over here? We're saying that if the person has 14 meals worth, then he can't take from the kupa. What we're saying, in other words, is we're not going to say because you need a 15th meal for Shabbos or a coincidence of chidka, even a 16th. Therefore, we're going to allow you to take from the kupa in order to make yourself a Shabbos. Don't do that. Instead, make your Shabbos like a weekday, and this way you don't have to take tzedakah that week at all. So in other words, so that's the thing. So that Mishnah, when we say 14 meals, it can actually work according to the Chidka or according to the Chachamim. Because what we say is, again, if he didn't have 14 meals and therefore he's having to take tzedakah, then fine, you're already, then the Gaboi tzedakah are responsible to give him enough for Shabbos meals as well. But if he can avoid taking tzedakah, then he should do that. And if he has 14 meals, he can avoid taking tzedakah because then he can avoid taking tzedakah because then he has enough for two meals each day. It means he's not going to have three meals or four meals for Shabbos. Doesn't matter. That's the Aseh Shabbat Chachol. Mm-hmm. We're going to actually talk about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Yes, if you have the money for it. So it actually, in Shulchan Aruch, in Torah and Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, it talks about this quite extensively. The Torah actually mentions an interesting thing. He says he himself was very poor, and he says a number of times, I discussed with my father, the Rosh, this question of what exactly it means, Aseh Shabbat Chachol, V'al Tetzarech Labrias, versus that you're supposed to splurge on Shabbos. So one distinction is, again, is the person already in a position of taking tzedakah? Then fine. You can have also, for example, you might have a case where a person has to borrow money and give a mashkin for it. Then you do that. You have the expression, levu alive ani pireya. Hashem says, borrow on my account and I'll pay back. But let's say you have a person does not have a mashkin and is not going to be in a position of borrowing money, and the only thing you can do is take tzedakah. And now, one other thing it also mentions in Shulchan Aruch, another possibility is the person should also see, it's fine. The person should also see whether it's possible for them to save up a little bit during the week. Like this, eat maybe a little bit less during the week each time. And that way, over the week, you can save up a little extra food to have for Shabbos. So a little extra money. You buy a little less during the week, and therefore you have a little extra money for Shabbos. That's the Torah goes on to say. That's what it means, actually. He says, when it says in Pirkei Avos, this coming Shabbos is Pirkei Avos, have a az kanam of a kal kanesha, etc. It means, among other things, that do that, work harder and to save a little extra money so that you have enough to be able to make a Shabbos. If you can't do that, if you push it, can't do that, and the only thing you can do is take tzedakah, so then we're saying Aseh Shabbat Chachol, if the situation is where you're able to support yourself during the week, just not on Shabbos, that's when you don't take tzedakah to make Shabbos. But if you're anyway taking tzedakah, because if anyway during the week you have to take tzedakah, then you're entitled to do that in order for Shabbos as well, and then they have to provide you enough to be able to have Shabbos meals as well. So that's what we're saying in the Gemara over here. So if he has 14 meals worth, and let's say he has exactly enough for 14, there's no way he can't do any less with any of those meals, let's say. So the only thing he could do in order to have the extra one or two meals on Shabbos would be to take tzedakah, then we're saying he can't do that. So that Mishnah, in other words, does not bear on the question of how many meals you have to have on Shabbos, because that's talking about a special case. Okay. They probably didn't want to take help if they could. If you have to, yeah, because if you don't take help from the tzibur unless you really need it, yeah. Okay. What about the Mishnah? What about the Gemara continues? Now we have another Mishnah that bears on this. Also there in Masechta Peya, it says, in person la'oni ha'ovim ha'makom la'makom, when you an oni who travels from one place to another. So now, before we were talking about an oni who is in town. So you give him the tamchuy every day and the kopa every week. What about you have an oni who's passing through town? So you're not supposed to give him less. Mikikur b'punyin medalad si'in b'sela. You have to give him at least a loaf of bread of the size that you could buy for a punyin when 4 sa' of wheat sell for a sela. So the calculation is as follows. A sela contains 48 punyonin. A sa' contains 6 kavim. Which means that 4 sa' contains 24 kavim. So it means, in other words, when the prices are like that, and that is the normal price that we find in many places in Chas, that the usual price was 4 sa' of wheat to the seller. So it means, in other words, that you're able to buy. So again, 4 sa' being 24 kavim. So for 1/48 of a seller, you're able to buy a half a kav of wheat. Now, when it comes to the loaf of bread, the Gemara explains in Erevin, you have to deduct from that because, after all, it takes money to bake bread. You have firewood, you have the labor, etc. So therefore, it comes out the size of the loaf of bread is that you actually buy at that point is going to be half that. So if you're able to buy raw wheat, a half a kav for a punyan, when the prices are like that, then a loaf of bread that you'd buy at that point would be a quarter of a kav, which comes out to the size of 6 eggs. That is considered to be the amount that he needs for 2 sudas. You actually have a machlokas a poskim about how to understand it. The you have based on the Gemara and Erevin over there. You have it's either 6 or 8 eggs, which is negeya, for example, as far as the question when we talk about kedei achilas pras, a pras is half that. So is it three or four eggs? They have different Rishonim talk about different understandings of the Gemara over there. Anyway, the point is, so over here we'll assume it means, that over here we'll assume it means six eggs. So therefore the point is, in other words, he has out of that a loaf of bread where he's able to eat half of it in the day and half of it in the night, each time three eggs worth, and that's enough for him to live off of. So you have to give him at least that size loaf of bread. Lon, and the Mishnah continues, if he stays overnight in town, noisten like Parnassas Lina, then they give him what he needs in order to sleep over, and we'll see soon in the Gemara what that means. The Im Shabbos, and if he's staying over in town on Shabbos, noisten like Mazen Gimel Sodas, then they have to give him three meals worth. So again, Lamer Rabbanon Hivaloy Rabchidka. Do we have to say that this is only according to the Rabbanon? Because according to the Rabchidka, you should have to be giving him four meals worth. And again, the answer is La'olam Rabchidka. Not necessarily. We could actually make it work according to Rabchidka. Kagan de'ika Suda Bahadei, because the case could be where he comes to town already with one meal with him. Because when an Oni travels from one place to another, he doesn't travel with nothing with him. So he had the pashtus. He has some food left over that he got in the previous town that he was in. So now he has that. So therefore, he has that. We give him three more. Damrin and Leis. And now we can tell him Hod Ika Bahadach, the one that you brought with you, Achle. You can eat that Friday night, and then we'll give you three more to cover the three meals Shabbos day. So it could work according to Reb Chidka. Problem with that is v'chi ozel bereka nozel. So what's going to happen? And when he leaves town, he's supposed to leave empty-handed. He's going to be leaving Motzei Shabbos. So don't you have to give him food for that? The answer is okay. D'malavinin le'soda bade. At that point, yeah, you give him another meal to go with him that he can take that he'll eat. Let's say Sunday morning. So that could work out according to Reb Chidka. Actually, Tosfos discusses that it really depends. If he comes on Erev Shabbos during the day, and we don't know whether he's planning to stay over Shabbos, then we just give him two meals. Then we just give him two meals like every other day. If he plans to stay over for Shabbos, then we give him another three meals for Shabbos. So coming into Shabbos, in other words, he has five meals. So he has one that he brought with him. He's going to eat that Erev Shabbos. Of the five meals, three of them will cover the three Shabbos meals. One of them he can eat Motzei Shabbos from Lava Malka. And then he has one more with him to take with him to the next place where he's going. And then according to Reb Chidka, what we would say is, we would tell him, fine, don't have Malava Malka. Instead, that extra one that you were planning to keep for Motzei Shabbos, eat that as your fourth Shabbos meal. Okay. Fine. My Parnassas Lina, we say that you give him Parnassas Lina as well. Now, what is that? It can't mean that you give him food to eat that night, because we already mentioned the amount of food you have to give him. I'm going to pop a Puyo Besadia. It means you give him a bed and a pillow. We learn in a braisa, since we're talking about the meals that you eat on Shabbos, ka'oris cha'ochaban arvis, the bowls or plates or whatever that you ate with on Friday night, madichon lechoban shachris, you're allowed to wash them in order to eat with them in the morning on Shabbos, because then you're washing them for the purpose of Shabbos. Shachris madichon lechoban mitzarayim. Similarly, the ones that you use in the morning, you can wash to eat with in the afternoon. But tzarayim madichon lechoban b'mincha. The ones that you used in the afternoon, you can wash them in order to eat with them by mincha time. So this would be according to Reb Chidka that you have four meals on Shabbos. It doesn't even have to be though. It could even be according to the Chachamim. Let's say you decided to eat an extra meal. You're not required to according to the Chachamim, but let's say you decided to, then you'd still be able to. Mina mincha ve'elach shuv eina madiach. But after mincha time, you're not allowed to wash the dishes anymore, because then you're not doing it l'kavod Shabbos, because then at that point you don't need it to eat on Shabbos. Aval koisis with the ketonius with sloichius, but when it comes to cups or jugs or pitchers, those you're allowed. Madiach b'holach kolayim kolay. Those you're allowed to wash anytime during the day. Lafisha and kevel l'shsiya, because there's no fixed time when you drink. You could decide anytime during the afternoon, even shortly before Shabbos is over, to drink, and therefore you need clean cups for that. If you, well, you can, you can, you, I'm pretty sure you can use, I, well, you can't use bar soap, but I mean, for dishes, you don't anyway, you use liquid soap. I think you have post-skim who are not so keen on the idea of liquid soap because it's thick and maybe it'd be considered memareach. So that you have, I mean, they sell nowadays the Shabbos soap, which is a much thinner consistency, and there's definitely no problem with that. Yeah. Okay. So now let's have some agadta on the subject of the Sudas of Shabbos. Amr of Shimon bar Pazi, Amr of Shimon and Levi Mishum bar Kapara, Kol HaMakayim Sholosh Sudas b'Shabbos. Anybody who keeps the three meals on Shabbos, Nitzel Misholosh Peronius, he will be saved from three different punishments, three different severe situations that are going to happen in the world. Mechev Leishol Mashiach, the pains before Mashiach comes. Umidina Shol Gehenim, the judgment of Gehenim. Umimuchamas Gog u'Magog, and from the war of Gog u'Magog. Where do we see that the meals of Shabbos have to do with those three things? Because where are we learning the meals of Shabbos from? We said because it says three times Hayoyim. I'm sending you a Yohan Navi before the day, before the great and awesome day of Hashem of Hashem comes, meaning the day of Mashiach. And that is the God of Anora. That refers to Chevle Mashiach, refers to the troubles and the difficulties that are going to be in the time before Mashiach comes. So the Hayoim of Shabbos saves a person from the Yoim of that. Midina Shel Gehenim, again, Ksiv Hocha Yoim, because here it says Yoim, Uchtiv Asim Yoim Evra Hayoim Ahu. Gehenim is described in the Pasuk, that day is a day of anger. So we see again that there's a connection between the two, between the days. And Mimochamas Gogomog, Ksiv Hocha Yoim, Uchtiv Asim Biyoim Biyoim Boi Goig, on the day that Goig comes to attack. So we see that a person eats the meals of Shabbos and he's saved from those three Yoims. The Bach talks about that each one of the that each one of them is connected. Each one of the meals, in particular, is connected with one of these things. Also, the Chida talks about something similar. That now what it is he explains. You have three ideas in Shabbos. You have that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. You have it Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have that it represents the Yom Shekula Shabbos Menucha L'Chaya Ha'olamim, the future world of Mashiach and the future world of Olam Haba. So therefore, so he says, so the first Shabbos meal where we talk about how Hashem created the world, we say Vayichulu in Kiddush over there. So that connects with Chevle Mashiach. Like in other words, Hashem didn't have to. There wasn't any pain and trouble involved in Hashem creating the world. He just said it, and it came into existence. And the same way, therefore, the person is saved from that he doesn't have to go through all this pre-preparation for Mashiach, the Chevle Shel Mashiach. The daytime meal is associated more with Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. We say in Shabbos morning davening, we talk about that the Shabbos is not given to the Goyim, and we talk about how Moshe received it on how Sinai together with the rest of the Torah. So therefore, it connects with Dina Shel Gehenim, because the Gemara tells us elsewhere that a person learns Torah, it saves them from Gehenim. And then you have the third meal is the third meal. We're focusing more on the future, on Yom Shekula Shabbos and Menucha L'Chaya Ha'olamim. So therefore, the person is saved from the war of Gog u'Magog, which is what happens before that comes. So that's the connection. Therefore, Shabbos Mincha we talk about. Well, in Mincha we don't really talk about so much in davening about Menucha L'Chaya Ha'olamim. We say it in benching by every one of the meals of Shabbos. But yeah, I mean, in Mincha we talk about Umikam Chayisro Goyach Ba'aretz. Yeah. Okay. A person who makes an enjoyment of Shabbos gets an inheritance without boundaries. Shenema, oz tis'ana gal Hashem, as the Pasuk says, then you will have enjoyment with Hashem. Rashi points out, the previous Pasuk mentions v'karosel Shabbos oneg, that you make Shabbos a delight. So therefore, oz tis'ana gal Hashem, therefore you will have pleasure with Hashem. V'hikavticha al bomasei oretz, Hashem will make you wide on the high places of the world. V'ha'achalticha nachlas Yaakov avicha v'gemer. I will make it that you'll be able to eat the inheritance of Yaakov, your father. So why are we singling out Yaakov? Not like Avraham, who the promise to him was given with a measure, that Hashem tells him, go and walk in Eretz Yisrael the length and the width. which means only that land, no more. Not like Yitzchak, where it says, I will give you and your descendants all of these lands, implying again, in other words, these lands and no more. But rather like Yaakov, where it says that he'll spread out in all directions, north, south, east, and west. So therefore, Yaakov is the one who's associated with an unbounded nachla, and therefore that's what we're saying a person gets for being ma'anig Shabbos. One point is also Mefarshim point out with Avraham and Yitzchak, they had from Avraham comes out Yishmael, from Yitzchak comes out Esav. They had finite boundaries. They had certain lands that Hashem assigned to them. Have certain boundaries. So therefore, only Yaakov, since from him comes only the Jewish people, then there's no boundary to it. So therefore, a person who is Ma'anik Shabbos is associated with that. Right, thank you. I forgot to mention that. So the Torah mentions that it's midah keneged midah because he spends money without boundaries on Shabbos. Therefore, he deserves a nachla without boundaries. Right. Yeah. Okay. Rab Nachman Yitzchok, a nitzel meshibud golis. Rab Nachman Yitzchok says also a person who is careful and makes an enjoyment of Shabbos is saved from having from being subjugated in the golus. Because here the pasuk is saying that Hashem will make you wide on the high places of the world. In Parshas Vezayis HaBracha, it says you will wide on the high places, which is talking about, in other words, that you will dominate the goyim rather than being dominated by them. So therefore, so the person who's being ma'anik Shabbos, then therefore that's his schar, is that he's not being dominated and subjugated by the goyim. Okay. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kolam anig as a Shabbos noisin la mishalos sliboy. A person who enjoys Shabbos is given what his heart asks for. Shenemar, the pasuk says, v'is anag al Hashem v'yitin lacha mishalos libecha. The pasuk says, you will enjoy and you will have pleasure with Hashem, and he will give you what your heart asks for. So oinig ze eni yedeh mahu. So now, v'is anag al Hashem, what does it mean? In what way are you enjoying Hashem? When the pasuk says you should call Shabbos an oneg, oh, so now we understand what Bisana Galashem, Hebi Yadea, Hebi Omer Ze Oneg Shabbos. Now we understand, therefore, that Bisana Galashem refers to enjoying Shabbos. One point is, the Marsha and the Maral say is, the vort is, that if a person is really enjoying Shabbos and really keeping it the way he's supposed to, then he won't even be thinking about what his needs on Shabbos. So what is it? He's not going to be asking for them verbally, especially in davening. We don't ask for our needs on Shabbos. He's not even going to be thinking of them, but Hashem knows what's in his heart, that he really does need these things, and therefore Hashem will supply it. Especially since we said, for example, the person is spending a large amount of money to enjoy Shabbos, And therefore he knows in his heart, even if he's not thinking of it consciously on Shabbos, that he needs Hashem to be able to help him and then be able to afford it. So therefore Hashem fulfills that and then makes it possible for him to be able to afford it in the future. Okay. Bamem angoy, what do we do in order to enjoy Shabbos? What does that mean? But Rabbi Yehuda Breder or Shmuel Bar Shilas, Meshmeder Rabama, betabshel shel trudin, what you do is you eat on Shabbos a dish of trudin, which are beets or spinach or some related plant like that. Vedogim gdolim, and big fish, vedroshe shumin, and heads of garlic. In those times, those were important foods. And therefore that you eat those special on Shabbos, and that's your oneg Shabbos. It doesn't mention meat. So actually in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions, practically speaking, most people do enjoy eating meat and fish. Therefore, that's why you should be eating meat and fish on Shabbos, because they're things that people enjoy, and you're supposed to eat food on Shabbos that you enjoy. But in general, it should be whatever in a certain place, in a certain time, is considered important, enjoyable food. That would be the appropriate thing to eat on Shabbos. So in those times, these kinds of things, the tavshol shel trudin and so forth, were considered important. And the garlic is something else as well. Also, the Gemara mentions in some places that Ezra made a takana that you should eat garlic Friday night, because garlic is marbe es hazera, it increases the zera, and therefore it makes it that Friday night is the time of oino, especially for Tamar HaChachamim. So therefore, it makes it that you'll be able to perform, actually. Yeah, it just keeps you healthy. Yeah. Okay. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar Rav, afilu dover mur to lechvoid Shabbos asoy. Actually, even if a person makes only a tiny little extra thing, but he's making it lechavod Shabbos, hareza oineg, that also counts as oineg. Don't think you dafka have to have the tavshil shel trodin and so forth, which you may not be able to afford. If all you have is a little bit, then you do something extra, and that's your thing lechavod Shabbos. Maihi, what is that? Amar apapa kosa de harisina. Even if all you have is kosa de harisina, which is a dish where you take small fish and fry them in their own fat and oil, and in their own fat together with some flour. So it comes out sort of like a filled fish, vaguely, or like fish patties or something. But whatever it is, that was like, it's not a particularly important dish, but you're making it lechavod Shabbos, and therefore that counts. So that also goes into what we were talking before about what the Torah says and what the Shulchan Aruch says about covered Shabbos, about owning Shabbos. Is again, you have a person is in a situation where all they can do for Shabbos is that. Fine, you do that. But if you have, obviously, a person should be doing boss of a dog and v'chol matamim if they can. But don't take tzedakah for that purpose. What you can do is you can borrow money for the purpose. Levu alive ani pareya. If you have what to give as a mashkin, or if you have what to give as a mashkin, for example, then you can do that. But otherwise, again, you try to save up during the week so you have a little extra for Shabbos. And even if that little extra is only the cost of the harisina, then that's also your oneg Shabbos. Okay. A person who keeps Shabbos properly according to its halachas, even if he worships Avodah Zarah like the way they did in the generation of Enosh, Hashem will still forgive him. As the pasuk says at the beginning of that section in Yeshaya that talks about Shabbos, happy is the Enosh who does this. And the pasuk says, "Shomer Shabbos mechal aloy," the person who keeps Shabbos so that he doesn't break it. Now, why the word mechal aloy? Why the word mechal aloy? Marsha points out, if it was talking about just that he keeps Shabbos and there's no drasha in it, the usual word would be mechal aloy or mechal aloy. Or mechalaleha or whatever. Like, yeah, Shabbos is usually lashon nekeva. Why mechalaloi, which is lashon zachar? How to can mechalaloi ela mochul loy? It's forgiven to him. So even if he's like Enosh, nevertheless mochul loy. Now, how can that be? I mean, how does Avodah Zarah get forgiven just because the person is keeping Shabbos? So one point is, the Beis Yosef talks about, after all, what's one point of Shabbos is it reminds us that Hashem created the world out of nothing. So therefore, if the person is keeping Shabbos kilchasai, then it shows he doesn't truly believe in the Avodah Zarah that he's worshipping. So therefore, it's much more likely that Hashem can be moichalim, because Hashem realizes that he doesn't really believe it, otherwise he wouldn't be keeping Shabbos properly. The Taz says a different point on it. What it means is, that fine, obviously he has to do tshuva. But the point is, normally Avodah Zarah, if a person's doing Avodah Zarah and then they do tshuva, normally they would have to have Yisurim afterwards in order to completely be mechapa the Avera. We just had a couple of days ago in Tanya, Shlosha Chalukah Kapara, from the end of Yuma. But if the person is careful about Shabbos, then it saves that he's able to be forgiven with just tshuva without Yisurim. Okay. Yeah. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, if the Jewish people had kept the first Shabbos after they were given it in the Midbar, then no nation or no people who speak another language would have ever been able to dominate the Jewish people. The pasuk says by the mon that on the seventh day some people went out to gather mon and they were breaking Shabbos by doing that, whether it's that they were going outside the tchum, whether it's that they were carrying baskets to carry the mon, whatever it is. And shortly after that, it says that Amalek came and attacked them. Actually, Marsha points out that in between, you have the whole story with Rephidim over there, where they demanded water and Moshe hit the rock and so forth. But still, he says the point is that it all began with that they broke Shabbos. That's what made them more susceptible to Rephidim, Shirofu Yedei Midivrei Torah, that they were weak in Torah, which includes being weak in Shabbos, and therefore Amalek came and attacked them. So if they'd kept that one Shabbos, then that wouldn't have happened. Well, the parasha of the week actually is this week's parasha is also about Moshe hitting the rock, but that was the second time at the end of the 40 years. We're talking about the one in Bishalach at the beginning of the 40 years. Okay. Yeah. He did. He told them on Erev Shabbos. He told them that he told them Hayom Loisim Tzuva Masada, and still Yotzim and Amloka. Hashem said to him because he should have told them earlier in the week rather than first telling them on Erev Shabbos. But he did tell them before Shabbos not to go and gather, and they went and tried to gather anyway. Okay. If the Jewish people were to keep two Shabbos according to their halacha, they would right away be taken out of Golos. So says Hashem to the Sarisim. The simple meaning of Sarisim means infertile people, or people who are unable to have children, who will keep my Shabbos, plural. And it says afterwards, I will bring them to my holy mountain. So we see, in other words, that because they keep Shabbos, my Shabbos in the plural, therefore they're brought to Hashem's holy mountain, meaning the Beis Mikdash. So what does it have to do with infertile? So Maharsha says a very interesting point about this. The Gemara mentions in Nida that a normal pregnancy takes either 271, 272, or 273 days. The normal amount is 271 days, but the Gemara talks about over there, it can happen, it can take a couple of days until the egg is fertilized, and therefore you can have maximum 273. So the Gemara mentions over there that the Chassidim HaRishonim used to take that into account when they had relations with their wives. They wouldn't have relations on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, because if you calculate the number of days and the number of weeks, it would come out then that there's a possibility the baby might be born on Shabbos. So he says that this is what it means when it says that the Sarisim keep my Shabbos sois in the plural, meaning they want to make sure that Shabbos is not going to be broken when the baby is born, and then the following week when the baby has to have his bris milah on Shabbos. Okay, it's a mitzvah to do a bris milah on Shabbos, and we're going to learn about it later, but still, these Chassidim HaRishonim were careful about that. So therefore, they are the Sarisim that Hashem is promising them this extra reward, because like they made them, they acted during parts of the week as if they're infertile and are unable to father children, and only during other parts of the week would they do that. So it comes out on a weekday. This idea of two Shabbosis, there's a mimer in Lakota Torah in Parshas Bahar on the Pasuk as Shabbosis Tishmeru, where the Alter Rebbe talks about why Dafka two Shabbosis. What's this idea of two Shabbosis? And in fact, there's a Yerushalmi that actually uses the expression if they kept one Shabbos, then they would then if they kept one Shabbos. So what is it? So the Alter Rebbe has a long explanation of their Apichsidus that there's two aspects to Shabbos. The Mamala Kalaman and Soviv Kalaman, you have the bitul the bitul of the Yesh to Ayin, and then you have a bitul that goes with the power of Chochmah, and then you have a bitul that goes beyond that, even higher than Chochmah, and that's the two Shabbosis, therefore, that we're talking about. So we're talking about, in other words, one physical Shabbos, but two different aspects of it. Bechlau, you have a medrash that says that many things with Shabbos we find are doubled. You have Lechem Mishnah, you have two korbanos, you have two animals are brought for a korban on Shabbos. No, besides the korban tamid, you have a shnei kvasim, v'yem Shabbos shnei kvasim neshanat tmimim. Yeah, so Shabbos in general is associated a lot with the number two. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yosi. So going back to we were talking about before the meals of Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Yosi, yehei chelki may oichle sholosh sudas b'Shabbos. May my portion be in Hashem's reward among those who eat three meals on Shabbos. Which means, in other words, now, obviously, Rabbi Yossi himself, now, why doesn't he just eat the three meals? So one possibility is, again, Rabbi Yossi may have been poor and couldn't always afford a third meal for Shabbos. And we were saying before, you don't take tzedakah for that purpose. So therefore, so he's saying that, but I hope that I'll have a schar among those who do eat them because he wants to, and Onus Rachmana Patre, basically. Maharsha says with this and a lot of the other ones that we're saying over here, it's not that Yossi couldn't do them, but he wants to stress to people the importance of doing them. Like this, for example, many people are careless with Shalosh Shodos. They say, you know what, I'm full from the daytime meal, so I can't be bothered. Some people say maybe you can be Yotze with Divrei Torah or whatever. So Rabbi Yossi wants to stress, you have to realize how important it is and that's why he's saying that I hope that I'll have a schar among those who eat it, meaning that it would stress how important it is to actually eat it. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so now we're going to have a number of other things that Rabbi Yossi says about himself, Yehei Chelki. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Yehei Chelki mi goymrei halal b'chol yom. May my portion be among those who finish saying halal every day. We say the whole halal every day. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Aini? How is that so? You're not supposed to say the whole halal every day. Well, Amar Mar, we learn in a Braisa, HaKorda halal b'chol yom, HaRezim HaKharev from a Gadda. If a person who says halal every day is like he's making fun and mocking Hashem. Meaning, because like this, it's supposed to be said at certain times as to praise Hashem. Like this, the person is saying it all the time. He just, Rashi says, he's just tweeting it like a regular song, as if like Sam, it's a regular song to sing. There's many, many other different explanations what the problem is with saying Hallel every day. Among them are, Hallel is meant to be to thank Hashem for the nisim that he does higher than Teva. If you say it every day, then it amounts to that you're saying that you don't, that you don't believe that Hashem does nisim higher than Teva. That you're just saying, in other words, okay, there's regular things that Hashem does all the time, but there's no particular nisim that Hashem does higher than Teva that we should say on those particular days, we should specially be saying Hallel. Or the other way around, the person maybe is saying that only Hashem does the nisim that are higher than Teva, but not the daily things that Hashem does every day, that Hashem does every day for us. That he does, he's only saying Hallel, like to remember the old nisim that Hashem did in the olden days, like as if like Hashem doesn't do anything for us now. The Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah bring another point from the Yerushalmi. In Hallel, you have the line, that's a behem kesef v'zahav, the goyim of idols of gold and silver. If you say Hallel every day, then it amounts to saying Hashem doesn't have the power to get rid of those. So if you say it at the times when you're supposed to say Hallel, fine, you're not implying that. But if you say that every single day, then after a while, you're going to get into the mentality of, okay, so what do you mean the goyim have idols? So why doesn't Hashem do something about it? And you're going to think that Hashem doesn't have the power to do that. So for all those and a lot of other reasons is why you shouldn't say Hallel every day. With that said, by the way, it says in Poskim, this is only if you're saying it derech shvach v'hodoya, you're saying it as a praise to Hashem. If you're saying it, for example, it's a kapitel tillim for that day, you know, let's say you have a regular quota of saying tillim and it comes out to say Hallel, then there's no problem with that. Okay. Right, some people say the whole tillim every day, so therefore, obviously, they're saying Hallel as well, but they're not saying. It is. I mean, the whole Hallel is included in tillim. Yeah. No, I mean, you have the brachas, obviously, are not part of it, but yeah. Okay. So anyway, so how is Rabbi Yossi saying that it's a good thing to say Hallel every day if we're saying that that's mechara from a gadif? The answer is, Kikamrin and Bepsuka de Zimra. Rabbi Yossi is not talking about Hallel as in what we say on Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov or whatever. He's referring to Pesuka de Zimra. Specifically, Rashi says, Hallelu es Hashem min Hashamayim and Hallelu Keil Bekodesh. Kapitel Kuf Mem Ches and Kuf Nun, which are the third to last and the last of the Hallelukas, those are the particularly important ones to say. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying that a person who says those every day gets a great schar from Hashem. So in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it talks about, you have the halachas, what happens if a person comes late to shul, and they need to catch up in davening. Now, our minhag is you don't do that. It's brought in, let's say, from Hagim, that we shouldn't do that. But nevertheless, in principle, you have in Shulchan Aruch that you could. And one of them is that if you don't have time to say all of Pesukah de Zimra, then at least you should be saying Ashrei and those two, based on the fact that Ashrei and those two, Hallelu Hashem min Hashamayim, and Hallelu Keil Bekodesh. Okay. Because those are the particularly important ones. Like those have more praise of Hashem than the other ones. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Next, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Yehei Chelkim Mispalim Im Dumei Chama. May my portion be among those who daven when the sun is red. Meaning very early in the morning, as soon as right after Netzach Chama, and in the evening and in the afternoon Mincha, shortly before it sets. So that's a good thing. It demonstrates, among other things, that he recognizes that Hashem created the world. So therefore, like as soon as the sun rises and as it's about to set is when he's praising Hashem. There's a Gemara in Baba Basra that talks about that the deeper idea, why is the sunrise and the sunset red? Because when the sun rises in the east, the sun is actually passing in front of Gan Eden. And when it's setting in the west, it's actually passing in front of Gehenim. Well, maybe I have that backwards. I don't remember. Whatever the case. So when the person davens at those times, like he's demonstrating that he recognizes Hashem, that Hashem has a Gan Eden and he has a Gehenim and knows to do the and knows to act the right way to be in one and not the other. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's from Ben Yehoyada. Yeah. Okay. Amar Rav Zeira Maikra, what's a pasuk that expresses that idea that it's good to daven at that time? The pasuk says Yiruucha Imsha. We learned this in Brachas. Yiruucha Imshamesh. They will fear you, Hashem, with the sun, meaning when the sun is rising. V'lefnei Yareach Dor Dorim, and before the moon rises for generations upon generations. So like as the sun is about to set, and you would send, you would start seeing the moon. Okay. But Amar Rav Yosi Yehei Chelki Mimeisei V'Cholei Me'ayim. May my portion be among those who die of stomach troubles, of stomach diseases. We learn elsewhere in a braisa that most tzaddikim die of chole me'ayim. Why is that? Rashi says this way they have Yisurim, and this way it cleans up any remaining Averis of theirs. Because like that's a particularly painful way to go. Tosfos brings a different explanation from a Medrash, that what it is this way, like, cleans out the remaining waste from their stomachs, and this way, when they pass away, they're clean like the Malachi Asharis. My portion should be among those who pass away on their way to doing a mitzvah. Which means, now we know there's a concept, shluchim mitzvah in a nizokin, but Marsha says, we're not talking about where the person is harmed because of what they were doing on the way to the mitzvah. We're saying that's not supposed to happen. But we're talking about, let's say it could happen on the way, a person is going to do a mitzvah, and something else unrelated to doing the mitzvah happens. You know, the person has a heart attack, let's say, in the middle of going to do the mitzvah or whatever. But his time expired, basically, yeah. So that's a good thing when the person passes away in the middle of doing a mitzvah. My portion should be among those who bring in Shabbos in Tveria and who let out Shabbos in Tziporti. So what is it? Tveria is a very low-lying area, so it gets dark early over there, so therefore they bring in Shabbos earlier. Tziporti, meanwhile, is on top of a mountain, so therefore the sun sets much later over there, so therefore they keep Shabbos for a much longer time because to them, it doesn't look like the sun has set yet. So therefore, so in other words, it's important to keep Shabbos, to start Shabbos early and to end it late. Gilyan Ashast, Rabbi Akiva Eger brings a couple of other possibilities, what this means. One is from Rabbeinu Yonah, that in Tveria, they used to have the local minhag that they would perfume their clothing before Shabbos, so this way they go into Shabbos with their clothing smelling nice. And Tziporti, they used to do that on Motzei Shabbos, so this way, like when we smell Besamim on Motzei Shabbos in order to refresh our neshama, so they did the same kind of thing in Tziporti. So he's saying, therefore, therefore it's better if you do both in a certain sense. So therefore, like you do like the way they do in Tveria and in Tziporti, that way you have the maximum benefit. Then he brings from the Rimigash another explanation, that Tveria and Tziporti are actually very close together. They're within a Tchum Shabbos of each other. So a person actually could, on one single Shabbos, start it out in Tveria and end it in Tziporti. So therefore, so sort of Yossi is urging that that would be a good thing to do, to keep Shabbos for as long as possible. Okay. My portion should be among those who make the people sit in the Beis Medrash, not the people who get them up. Meaning, Rashi explains, so you have the Shamoshim, the Chazanim, Rashi calls them, who call the Tamidim every day to come to the Beis Medrash, and then you have the ones who tell them it's time for lunch or it's time for whatever, so I'd rather be among the first group than among the second, because fine, they have to eat, but it's still more important to be calling the people to learning rather than dismissing them at the end of it. And Marshall says a different explanation. It means you have people who sit in the Beis Medrash and then you have people who stand while they're learning. The people who are standing are more likely to leave early, and they're also more likely, like other people are going to see them standing and also decide, you know what, I realize I have to go. So therefore he's saying better to be among those who sit, where that way like you're showing a kvius over there, and that way it makes other people more likely to stay there also. I would rather be among those who collect the tzedakah rather than those who give it out. Now, you have, the halacha is, Rashi brings from the Gemara in Bava Basra, you have to have two people collecting the tzedakah, and then you have to have at least three people giving it out. Because giving it out amounts to like a minor din torah, because like you're deciding who gets what amount, and therefore you need three like you would for a din torah. The problem is, when you're giving it out, sometimes you may be a little bit biased. You have somebody who you decide to give, you have a little rachmanos on him, maybe he's your relative or whatever, and you give him a little more, and you give him a little more than he should, and maybe you give another person a little less than they should. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not really good to be in that position. Better to be among those who are collecting tzedakah, where there you don't have that problem of being biased and giving out too little or too much. My portion should be among those who a person is suspected of doing an Avera when in fact they didn't do any such thing. In other words, obviously a person has a responsibility to act in a way that people don't suspect him, but sometimes you have a person that gets suspected unjustly for nothing, so therefore that's a very good thing for the person, especially if he doesn't respond. if he can justify himself, then yeah. Papa, in fact, says, I was in such a situation, I was suspected, when in fact I wasn't guilty of it. What are we talking about? The Mephoshim bring a half dozen different explanations where we see that a papa was suspected of something that he didn't do. One of them, actually, we learned in Brachas. We had a story over there where he went to collect a debt from a Goyish neighbor. And she tried to pretend like he had sat down on a bed and crushed her child. And in fact, Rashi mentions over there that he had to leave the country because of it, because she did a blood libel against him. So therefore, he was suspected, but it wasn't true. Of course, he didn't do any such thing. There's a lot of other explanations, including this one in Bava Basra. There's a whole sugya about tzedakah in Bava Basra, where the Gemara tells over there that Rapapa one time was walking up a ladder, and one of the rungs of the ladder came loose, and he fell down and almost hurt himself very badly. And then one of the other Amoraim tells him, maybe what it was is one time an Oni came to you for tzedakah and you didn't give him, because that would be considered almost like shvichas damim, and therefore it would be considered almost like denying Hashem, and therefore the punishment for that would be skila. So now Rapapa is saying, no, I was suspected of that, but in fact that's not so. I did give tzedakah every time somebody asked. So there's that. There's a half a dozen. The Rashash brings another one. Later on in Or Masechta, we have Rapapa saying a line that if you're able to drink beer and instead you drink wine, then you're over on baltashkas because you're wasting money on wine that you could have used on beer, which is cheaper. And the Gemara mentions over there that maybe the papa is saying that for his own personal benefit, because he was a brewer, he made beer. So therefore, like if he's urging people to drink more beer and less wine, then he stands to gain from it. So he's saying, no, they suspected me of saying that just for my personal benefit, but actually it's not. And there's a lot of different explanations. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Chomesh Be'ilas Ba'alti. Here's another thing Rabbi Yossi says. Five times I had relations with my wife. V'natati chamisha arozim b'Yisrael, and with that I planted five cedars in the Jewish people, meaning that he fathered five great Talmid Chacham. Five great Talmid Chacham and Tzaddikim. Uman inu, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Chalafta b'Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Tilas b'Rabbi Yossi, v'Rabbi Menachem b'Rabbi Yossi. Okay, the Gemara asks about Ika Vardimas. What about, we know that Rabbi Yossi had a son named Vardimas, who was mentioned in various, he was mentioned in a couple of places in Shas. The answer is, Hainu Vardimas, Hainu Menachem. That's just another name for Menachem, the youngest son. Ba'amai, Kodile Vardimas. So why is he called Vardimas? Shapon of Doimin Leveret, because his face was like a rose. His face was pink and bright like a rose. Okay. What's Chosidim? No. Right. So the question is, Lememra de Rabbi Yossi mitzvahs oina lekiyim. What do you mean? Rabbi Yossi only had relations with his wife five times in his whole life? What about mitzvahs oina, where he has to have relations with her every so often, in particular Friday night? Now, Ela'ema chomesh be'ilas ba'alti v'shonisi. Rather, what he's saying is, all the other times he just had relations regular. There were five times when he did it twice. Now, we learn in a Gemara in various places that if a person wants to have boys, Yivel the Yishnei should have relations twice with his wife, one after the other, because then you have Isha Mazras Tchila Yeled HaSachar. And this way, if he does it a second time, then it's more likely that she's going to be Mazria first, and therefore that's more likely to make a Zachar. So five times I did that, and each one of those times produced one of these arozim, one of these cedars, one of these great tzaddikim and tamer chachamim. Tosfos brings a different explanation from the Yerushalmi, that what it really does mean that he only had relations with them the five times, because what it was is not his regular wife. These were Yevamos. These were, he had five brothers who passed away, and each one of them he had to be miyabim, their wives. He held, given when you get down to him, and Yibum involves a sister-in-law, and usually it would be an erva. It's only mutter because of the mitzvah of Yibum. So Rabbi Yossi took the view that therefore it's only mutter the first time, the one time where you're doing it for the mitzvah to accomplish the mitzvah of Yibum. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says that's what it means. With each one of them, he had relations only the one time in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibum, and each one of them produced one of these five great children. Okay. She's his wife, but he doesn't necessarily have to mekayim mitzvah soina with her. She's his wife, fine. But on the other hand, there's the problem of that if he's not doing it 100% l'shem shemayim, then it might be considered pegeya be'erva. See, he was machmer on himself, I guess with their consent. Okay. Rabbi Yossi also says, in all my life, I never called my wife my wife, or the shori shori, or to call my ox, Ella the ishti besi. I called my wife my house because she's the akeres abayis. She's without a wife, there's no house. Or the shori sodi, and I called my ox my field because without an ox to plow the field, you don't have a field. This is actually la halacha. You have a case over there involving money of yisoimim. which Napotrupus is managing it for them until they grow up. So he's allowed to, if you have a field, if they have extra fields and they don't have enough oxen, then he's allowed to sell a field in order to buy oxen, because without oxen you don't have a field that's worthy, that accomplishes anything useful anyway. Yeah, it was in Rambam in Men Perkechot a while back. Yeah. One interesting explanation I saw why Dafka Rav Yossi does this, why he Dafka calls Ishti Basi and Shodi Sadi. The Rishami mentions that Rav Yossi was descended from Yonadav ben Rechav, which is one of the descendants of Yisrael. The Pasuk describes in Yirmiya how these descendants of Yonadav ben Rechav, their ancestor, this Yonadav ben Rechav, was a tzaddik. He wanted them to be involved as little as possible in Olam Hazeh. So he tells them, you shouldn't live in permanent houses, you shouldn't have fields, and this way, you'll always realize they're only in the world temporarily, basically. So therefore, so Rav Yossi being descended from them, maybe only on his mother's side, but whatever. So he followed that. So he didn't have an actual regular house of his own. He didn't have a regular field of his own. But instead, so therefore, his wife is his house, and his shur is his, and his shur is his field. Okay. Amr Rav Yossi. Mi yamai lenistakalti b'milashali. In all my life, I never looked at my mila because of tznius. So the Gemara says, "Eini, is that so?" Well, Amr Leila Rebbe. We find that they one time asked Rebbe, "My time akodol l'chol Rabbeinu Akodesh. Why do they call you Rabbeinu Akodesh? What's so Kodesh about you more than anybody else?" Amr Lehumi Yomei Lenastichalti B'Milashali. He says, "I never looked at my Mila. So if that's all you need, then Rabbi Yossi should be called Rabbi Yossi Akodesh." The answer is, "But Rebbe Milta Achriti Habibay." With Rebbe, there was another consideration. It wasn't just that he didn't look at his Mila. Shalaihichnis Yode Tachas Avneter. He never put his hand below his belt. As also extra tznius to not have his hand anywhere near there. So for that, he was called Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rabbi Yossi didn't do that. Rabbi Yossi just didn't look at his mila, but Pashas, he would put his hand in that area, is not called Kaddish. Okay. Rabbi Yossi also says, in all my life, the beams of my house never saw the seams of my undershirt. Meaning most people, when they take off an undershirt, they pull it off over their head and it comes out inside out. Rabbi Yossi wouldn't do that. Rabbi Yossi would cover himself first with tznius, and then he would get undressed under the covers. So the walls and the beams of his house never see the inside of the shirt. That's actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to get dressed and undressed tzniusly, realizing that Hashem is always watching you. Also, Rabbi Yossi says, in all my life, I never went against what my chaverim say. For example, Yodeani ba'atzmi she'eni koyin. I know about myself that I'm not a koyin. Nevertheless, im omrim li chaverei alei l'duchan ani oyla. But if my friends tell me go up to the duchan, then I would do it, even though I'm not a koyin. Now, so what are we talking about? So Tosfos actually says, okay, so what? So if he goes, he's a Zohar, if he goes up to the Duchan, what's the problem? Unless maybe the problem of Bracha Levatola. So different Rishonim and Achrayim talk about, what do you mean, what's the problem? He'd be over on a mitzvah saseh. Dabrel Aaron v'albon of lema, kosev orchos b'nei Yisrael, omer lahem. So there's a lot of different answers. Maybe he would only go up there but not say Birkas Koyanim. Maybe it's not an issue if there were other Koyanim there. Maybe the other way around, actually, maybe. Maybe the issue is if there are other Yisraelim over there and he's not sitting with them and receiving the bracha, then he's over on the Esser that he's not being benched by the Kohenim. But if there's no other Yisraelim there anyway, then there's no problem that maybe for him to go up and stand there with the Kohenim. But yeah, it could also be that he's saying it without a bracha. There's a lot of different explanations. So let's say they thought he was a Kohen. The Torah Tmimah actually has an essay about that, where he once said that maybe he brought a possible different girsa, not Kohen, but Kedai. So we're not talking about going up to the Duchen in order to Duchen like a Kohen, but rather just to go up onto the Duchen to give a speech. So he's saying, even though I'm not Kedai, to give a drasha, but nevertheless, if they tell me to, I will. And the last thing, V'omer Rav Yossi, Miyomer Le'amarti Dova V'chazarti La'achorai, I never said anything and went backwards. Meaning, Rashi says, if I said something about somebody, if that person later on came and said, did you actually say that? I would never deny it because I didn't need to. I always said the truth in the first place. So he holds like this, it's not Lashon Hara, if it's something that you would be willing to say in front of the person himself, which is not actually the halacha. elsewhere, the halacha is, even if it's something that you'd be willing to say in front of the person himself, you have to see whether it's derogatory or not. And if not, then you can't say it. Elsewhere, in Erchin, Rashi brings a different explanation that it means like you never had to turn around. Like I just said something about somebody, I have to turn around. Oh, was this person here? Should I not have said that? Because he would never say something like that. Sometimes you have, like you say something, you know, and then you're embarrassed. Oh, I didn't know you were there. I wouldn't have said this. If you were around, Rabbi Yossi always spoke the truth in the first place, and therefore he didn't have to worry about that the person, that whether the person may have heard him or not. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.